Blog Talk Radio.
Simone, thank you so much, wherever you're resting, darling. Thank you for great music, specifically our theme song.
Thank you for great music.
Well,
thank you.
Nina Simone, for wherever she's resting.
Oh.
Thank you for great music. She gave us, you're not a huge fan, but you like a few of her.
No, I do.
I got a spell on you. You love that. But she gave us so many years of just wonderful music. And that, of course, is near and dear to our hearts. And welcome, people. Welcome to yet another Wednesday at 1 o'clock. Thank you. Well, 1 o'clock got an applause. That was a surprise. Wow, I wonder what 2 o'clock would get. Bada boom, poof. Welcome to...
What do you think it's going to get you?
Welcome to She's Raising the Bar. Oh, Jesus H.
It's a lively audience.
You know...
Alone.
Sometimes you could do no wrong. It's one of those days I could say welcome. Another chilly day in Gotham. When are we going to get some warmer
weather, right? You would
think
it was like November or something.
Well, yeah, it's you know, what's going to happen, Elite, is when it happens, it's going to happen really quick.
We never get a spring.
I'm trying to think, did it happen like that last year?
Who knows?
That
it
just
remember.
Suddenly got very, very, very hot.
We never remember.
And it's never a problem to us. We like the heat. So welcome, people. Thank you for joining us. 4 years and going strong, and happy to have you aboard. List of characters are to my left.
Go ahead.
Elite Ziegelman is she.
To my right.
Yeah. Lori Towers is me. Welcome aboard.
Go.
And today we have a great show. We have, and you know what, people might not recognize her name, but they're definitely going to recognize her. And I think her voice, too, she's got one of these wonderful, I'm going to ask if she does voiceover work. Oh, she's just got a wonderful, wonderful voice. Louise Thoreau, who actually I remember growing up.
I've seen her on so many
shows,
different shows.
You know what's funny?
And on Days.
Yes. Well, she's run the gamut of started in theater, feature films, sitcoms, those movies of the week that we remember.
Sure.
And then did the rest of her stuff in soaps. She was on a lot of different soap operas. And so needless to say, she's had all the corners of show business covered. So we're gonna talk to her about, you know, and it's funny. She's been in show business over 30 years. Now, that's a lot.
Sure is.
That's a good amount in that industry that is so fickle and so horribly unfair to women. So it's going to be interesting to see how she kept her career afloat.
And mostly
alive and
it was
kicking
in front of the camera, right?
Yeah, she... And you know what's funny? I was... you and I were listening to... we had the TV on in the studio. And the other day we heard about Wonder Woman, the new release. And I wasn't really following much about it. You know, I heard that they had, you know, slated that it was going to be a release. I don't even know if I'm going to see the movie, but what was interesting is it grossed the first night $100 million, which is a lot for, you know,
a movie.
In the first weekend of
especially
of opening,
like a woman's movie.
That's it. Now, the director of this happens to be a woman, and they were saying that it's the first time in history that a female-directed movie has ever grossed the box office at that high a scale. And, you know, you and I were like, oh, that's really great, but the broader point of this is It's 2017. This is the first time it happened? This is the first time in the history of Hollywood, that this ever happened. And you have to think there is just something
terribly wrong
there.
Let's hope that we're wrong.
No. I won't hope we're wrong. But what I'm trying to say
No,
is,
I know what you're saying. I know what
how
you're saying.
Did that...
Only because it was a release of Wonder Woman that they you know, specialized saying that, you know, it was directed by a woman.
And that's wonderful because obviously with a woman, you know, at the helm, it's probably not going to be, you know, so sexually exploited. It's probably going to be, I mean, let's be serious, Wonder Woman was supposed to be, a beautiful woman.
Mm-hmm.
But from the shots that I saw, she wasn't as scantily clad as, you know, Linda Carter.
No.
I mean, they
listen, nobody can compare, and nobody will compare because that was the original Wonder Woman.
Wait a second, I want to cue up that theme. Linda Carter, come on the show. Where is she? We should contact her agent, have her come on the show.
She said she was
see
going
what she,
to, know.
See what she says. See what she had to say about this. Here we go. Wonder Woman! Yeah, I remember that
pretty cool.
theme. Yeah, I remember that theme. And
you know what's funny? I never watched the show.
I watched the show, but I could not bring to mind any episode. Isn't that weird? Because I always watched it, but it's just like shows. I mean, there was, look, I Love Lucy, I could tell you episode by episode. You know,
yeah, it was our favorite.
Certain shows
you know. Yeah.
But I remember always watching Wonder Woman, and I could never tell you an exact episode. But
it's funny, Linda Carter was on Supergirl.
Was she?
There's a lot of superhero shows that are on WB.
Uh-huh.
And she was on Supergirl as the president. She played the president.
Oh,
yeah.
Well, good, she's working.
But it was a woman president, which was pretty cool because it's, like, based on the future.
Well, you know, it's – and I think that the marketing spin that they did with this release – was the first night, I think it was Friday night, that only women
could see it.
And I think that because of this incredible groundswell that's going on, because of the administration, because of everything that's happening, people are making sure that women's voices get heard, and there's something a little bit more well-lit about, you know, something like this that was, you know, I can't think of a better time. This movie last year, I don't think it would have done as well as it's doing this year.
Yeah.
I mean, look at us. We changed formats, and the format that we picked now is certainly more. I'm saying it's like paper on fire.
Yeah.
And it's because, and you never want to be opportunistic, but in this climate, there's more of a solidarity and there's more of an awareness that certain rights and everything could be taken away and we're just banding together and
we're actually like back in the 60s.
You know, it's funny because
feels like that.
I remember when I was marching in the Women's March in January and always thinking, you know, I was certainly alive in the 60s, and I remember the buzz
most
of everything
of it,
happening,
yeah.
And through my mother, who mm-hmm. told me what was going on, and you know, and of course Billie Jean King and everything that was important to women then, my mother made sure I knew about. But I was on periphery; I wasn't exactly involved in it because how could I be?
Yeah.
But in your own way, you have an awareness, and I remember getting on the train on that Sunday. And getting on, and everybody was going to the same place. And I was thinking, this is probably definitely like the 60s. Everybody's going to the same place. Everybody had their placards, their banners, and wearing the hats. And it just, and you realize, you know, doing it in New York is great. You know, you're preaching to the crowd.
There's no other place to do it.
Everybody was, you know, in solidarity. People were hanging out windows and supporting you and
hanging out.
It was just a wonderful day. Yeah, it was just a wonderful day. And I was thinking that's probably what it was like in the 60s, all the marches that came about, the March on Washington, all these big
protests.
Major pushes that we needed to keep our civil rights intact. So, but that was kind of nice because you and I always discussed watching, and I said to myself I was going to watch the inauguration, watching him get someone in, and just, you know, having to get out of the house and say, look, that's rig this.
Yeah.
I gotta go. That was like the Black Friday. And the next day actually made a lot of that go away because it just seemed like there was hope, you know?
Yeah.
And
we can only hope, you know?
Well, like in saying, that's another thing I want to talk to Louise about, too. It's just like the restructuring of Hollywood, you know, because if indeed this was the first time a female director was able to push a script across, get backing for it, and, you know, make those numbers happen.
Well, I think it was well known because it was Wonder Woman.
Mm-hmm.
People knew about Wonder Woman, and, you know, people are intrigued with superheroes.
Oh, well, that's...
They
yeah,
really
that's,
are
that's
intrigued with
been,
superheroes,
yeah.
So... Did you know that she was 5 months pregnant filming this movie?
What? Wow.
Wonder Woman, yeah.
Well, I'm sure she didn't
and
do her own
And she's from
sense.
Israel also.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't think so. Not 5 months pregnant.
No, no.
Pregnant.
No, I'm sure
present.
Not. I'm sure not. And, well, you know, again, you know, I think you have to really push to do your own stunts.
Yeah.
I mean, that's why there's a union.
Definitely not pregnant.
But like I said, every summer there's a release of
yeah, a big superhero movie.
Yeah, but like I said,
I forgot what was last year.
Not the Green Hornet.
No.
But they're big in the summer, I guess, because you're
yeah.
getting a younger audience coming
exactly.
in.
Exactly.
But this, I think this was so, this hand was so well played to release it this year. You know, I really think so. And honestly, I think that if Hillary had gotten in, it would have been a good release as well.
Oh, yeah. Either way.
Yeah.
It would have played out well.
Yeah. Either way, it would have been, you know, platforming.
Pro-woman. And
yeah.
then, you know.
Yeah. But you know what's interesting? You would know this lady's face, too. And she was actually one of the trailblazing directors in Hollywood in the 50s, Ida Lupino. Who actually was drop dead gorgeous, a beautiful, beautiful, beautiful woman, and she did the last half of her career behind the camera, and she had to go once she and if you saw this woman, I'm going to bring up her picture later. She was like a cross between Donna Reed. I mean, she really,
really
beautiful woman, but she loved directing, and she would sometimes fund her own films because. She had to go house to house and get funding from, you know,
yeah.
these big film
nobody
houses.
Nobody funded her.
And
them.
Nobody did. But she got quite a few movies out there. And, you know, she was great. It's funny because it always goes back to, I think there's always been ageism in Hollywood. Anything in front of the camera,
mm-hmm.
there's going to be ageism. But it always goes back to that, and you've seen this movie, Sunset Boulevard.
Mm-hmm.
And you want, and the scary thing is, in Sunset Boulevard, I think the actress was only supposed to be in her late 50s.
Really?
Isn't that crazy?
Why did they make her so much older?
Well, they really didn't. Don't forget, the film was very different then, so people did look older because of the makeup
and so
on. Oh, so
I think
so
they
so
just casted the... Yeah.
Right, but think about what you saw Feud, right? You saw Feud,
yeah.
Betty Davis and Joan Crawford. Okay. And what have happened to Baby Jane? They both were in their 50s.
Yeah.
You and I, in our 50s. You know what I'm saying? Do you realize?
Why did they make that movie with two older women? Which I'm not, you know,
I
complaining
think
about.
Well, you know what? It was two older women that did have some box office pull.
Savvy, definitely.
And, again, how they pitted one against the other.
That was the same.
But think about this. I mean, now, you know, we look at, imagine somebody telling us, I'm going to be 55 in November. You know, you're a year younger than me. Imagine somebody saying to us, well, you know what, you basically in a very, very roundabout way, you're no longer relevant. You can you imagine?
No.
And your male
like
colleague,
a knife in the back.
Yeah, your male colleagues still go on and work, but and this is what it's up against.
Terrible.
So that's why it's you know, this show is about reinvention and trying to, like, you know, dismantle what was already assembled and restructure it so it's more towards our advantage.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and again, we say nothing against men.
No.
But let's be serious. When you're designing the game, you are going to design it so that you have the home field advantage. And that's just the way it is. It's just human nature. I'm not saying that. But when you're designing something, you have your best interest in mind. So clearly, when the boys were designing things, they weren't thinking of us. And there you go. So that's why it's going to be interesting to see how we can change things. You know what I'm saying?
We could do it one day at a time.
Well, there's that whole there's a whole thing in Hollywood. In fact, I want to get her on. A friend of mine, Alexis Cara, who was in Fame and so on and so
mm-hmm.
forth there. She's probably in her 30s now.
What did she do?
She's a choreographer.
Oh, okay.
Okay, but she was on Broadway. She was in Wicked, blah, 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 blah. So, again, a dancer's life is kind of, you know, you have a certain shelf life yourself, and dancers don't really go past 35. So she's into choreography and doing different things. But
was she a dancer at one point?
Yeah. She did 5 years on and off Broadway. You know, when I first met her, she was having knee problems, toe problems, everything. And so now she's out in L.A., and she's starting to feel the pushback at that age. So, I mean, can you imagine that? It's like, well, it's still alive and well, and it's, you know, when you're in your 30s, and we have somebody else coming on the show that
I'm not going to mention her name, but it's still happening, you know?
Yeah.
I really just can't fathom that, you know, they think that women can't do what men do.
That's the whole thing.
I think it's just like their ego thing. It's just the ego getting
in their way. It's that whole women don't age, women get older, men become distinguished.
Yeah,
now, how does that? But again, the rules that have been applying were written by the leading gender.
Yeah.
And, you know, again, nothing against, there's a lot of progressive men out there that would never partake.
No.
In this, but
and there's a lot of, you know, progressive men that look terrible.
I'm just saying. but now, getting back to the point, you don't have to look a certain way.
No, especially if you're behind the scenes. Who cares if you got talent?
That's exactly it.
Camera's not on you.
Script writers and everything. But that's where it's still there is still that push and pull. There's still that push and pull. So, like I said, I wanted to mention somebody else, but she hasn't been on the show yet, so I don't want to mention her name.
Right.
But you know who I'm talking about. And again, these people are maybe just touching 40, and it shouldn't be the case. But I'm, you know, with this whole, the current climate that we have, you know, whipping around our heads now, I say to myself, it's the best of times, it's the worst of times. And by that I mean, the worst in everything that's going around is going to bring out the best in us. If we just focus on it, if we just say to ourselves, okay, you know what, we're just going to keep, you know, don't look at the wall as you're making that turn, look straight ahead, you know, don't lose focus of the big picture. And the big picture is just, you know, what we all want, gender symmetry.
That's it.
And hopefully we do get that. But got to keep pushing. Got to keep it before
keep
we
pushing.
Before we get too heady. I didn't even. You know what? I was so rude. I didn't even ask you how you were, Elite.
Oh, I'm fine. Very good.
Anything new and improved in your life?
New and improved. Let me see.
Go ahead. Where were we last weekend?
Oh,
we did a workshop
upstate, you
and I.
Yeah, we went to Binghamton.
Yeah, I made you say it because I can't say that word.
Binghamton.
Oh, baby
it's
doll.
Amazing that
baby
I can say something and you
doll.
Can't.
I just don't know why. My tongue won't have it. My lips won't have it. It just, if I don't think about it, it comes
It'll
out.
Come right out.
But if
right.
I have to say it, if I like when I was announcing it, I was proud of myself last week. Remember, I said it twice.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
And I said, you know what?
That's it.
That's enough for me. I can't. No. I can't do it again. I can't make a fool of myself.
But we met a lot of nice women, right?
Very nice. Very, very
different,
nice.
You know, counties up there.
Yeah.
Finger Lakes.
It was nice. It was the group New
York State
Women
Incorporated.
Incorporated. and doing a wonderful thing in a very charitable organization. It was nice. We had it was up in the place that Leet said.
Binghamton.
That's my girl.
Binghamton.
And it was everybody from the different chapters. You had people from Staten Island, Finger Lakes. We had everybody up there, and just like a nice group of women just trying to push things forward. And you know what's funny? You talk to different women,
mm-hmm.
and I definitely label myself a feminist, and there were certain women that I was talking to that didn't like the term. You know,
really?
Yeah, and you know what? Again, we're on the same page about a lot of things, but
mm-hmm.
then we kind of stray where it comes to other things, and that's fine. But the objective being pushing women forward.
Right.
Pushing women forward in the whatever capacity.
It's funny because I asked Fran, you know, because we're youngsters in this group.
Yes, we
and
are.
I would like to know, like, what the...
that feels good.
What this women's group, you know...
Mm-hmm.
represents,
right, yeah,
you know,
yeah,
because
yeah.
there's a lot of women that just don't really do anything.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, since we've gotten there, we've done most of the work.
Yeah.
But we don't really know what the other women did. But it's, you know, women supporting women in the professional, political,
yes.
and the personal.
Yeah. And
so
I think
that's what it's about.
Yeah. And speaking of women supporting women,
yes.
we're supporting Louise Sorrell, who's coming
on
now.
Are
Louise?
You there?
Hello.
Good
Hello.
Morning.
Hello. Welcome. Welcome.
Good morning. Thank you. How's everybody?
Everybody's fine. You're in LA now. What's the weather like there?
It's overcast because we have June gloom. It's cold.
Yeah. I remember that.
We got
yeah.
it here, so
yeah.
it's really the same thing. You know, Louise, I'm looking over, and I'm not even going to mention every show that this woman was on because
oh,
she was on
don't.
Every show. Every show that I remember from my, there wasn't a show that you weren't on. And
well, I don't think that's the case, Lori, but thank you.
No, and you know what? You know the funny thing is, I don't know if you heard that what Leet and I were talking about. We're
no,
talking about Wonder Woman opening on Friday.
Uh-huh.
And they were just saying that the box office was just
unbelievable.
Enormous. I think they grossed $100 million the first weekend, and they went on to say this is the first time a female director pulled in that amount of money.
Yes. Isn't that
and
amazing?
And at first, yeah.
Fabulous.
Now, at first I was thrilled about it, and Elite was thrilled about it, but then I said, okay, but it's 2017. You're
uh-huh.
kidding me. That's
so
the
long.
First time this ever happened?
Well, yeah, it's like everything else, things take forever to come through, and women have had a very hard time in the industry. I mean,
yeah.
some of them are fabulous, but let's face it, it's a man's industry.
That's exactly right.
Always has been.
So, but now, seriously, with that being said, your career spans way over 30 years. How did you manage that? Because, I mean...
Well, they had to have a woman in a show. They had no choice.
But still, there were a lot of women that can't say they have... I mean, they had a certain shelf life, and then, that was it. They raised kids, and they went off. But, I mean, that's something to say. And starting in theater, and then right into soaps.
Yeah,
so,
well, don't say that.
What?
Not right into soaps.
Well, you know what I'm saying.
But,
TV...
Yeah.
TV
well,
movie.
That was later on,
yeah.
and I was a little hesitant, but then I heard who was in it, and it was a new show, and I liked the character, and I got sort of caught up. I mean, I loved it at first because it was a show called Santa Barbara. It was the first
yeah.
soap I ever did, and it was really good. Robin Wright was in it, Dame Judith
yeah.
Anderson.
Yeah, yeah.
There were some very good people in it, and we were allowed to be creative. I thought that's what they were like until I went on to some others where
yeah.
you're not really, you know, and you can't be invested in the process. You just sort of spit it out, so to speak.
Mm-hmm.
So it was, I probably did way too many years of that, but you get into them and it's a job and it keeps going. So you think, well, I'm working.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm doing the best I can.
Exactly. Well, that was my next question. I mean... What did you find certainly the most gratifying? I mean, every time we ask somebody this, they always say theater. So
yes,
yeah,
yes, that's true. It's absolutely true.
So you like theater better than movies and better than the soaps?
Yes, yes.
Yes. Yeah.
I think everybody feels, well, you know, people at least who've been in a theater feel that way because it's alive.
Yeah, true.
You know,
you're
really, your people are out there and you know when it's working and they're responding and it's, you know, you get an energy back that you don't get when you're facing a camera.
Right, and you have one shot to do it.
That's right, and then you can try to fix it the next night
if
you don't
exactly.
do it right the night before. I mean, it's also wonderful because you have the most insane experiences on stage because it's live, and if something happens, there's nothing you can do about
exactly.
it.
Yeah, but nobody
funny,
knows.
Yeah,
nobody
I mean, just very funny experiences that you never, well, you do have them when you're doing film, but it's not the same. Because you're just, you know, and the audience always loves it when something goes wrong.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
You know, there's a vulnerability there. And, you know, you see people trying to get through something. And it
yeah.
takes away that mystique of, you know, they're supposedly different than anyone else. And
mm-hmm.
you're not.
Yeah.
You just don't,
you're human.
You know, that's, well, yes.
Well, that's the
there are some people we know lately that aren't. But,
Well, you know, that's...
We
have to have our political moment. That's what we were talking about. With
this
groundswell of women realizing that this is a very important time, and we really have to, you know, get poised and ready for anything that might come down the pike. And I was saying to Alit that the release of Wonder Woman, I think, was so well played because if it was released last year at this time,
yeah.
I don't think there would have been as much of an urgency to market it a certain way, the spin on just having women in the theater the first night. I think it was just brilliant.
Yeah, I don't, you know, I'm at a loss as to how that's going to get rid of a group of criminals that are running the country at the moment.
No.
I mean, I don't know how that's going to help anything because they don't listen to anyone and they don't care.
Well,
you know,
it's very
frustrating.
What I'm very surprised at is nobody tweeted anything about that at 3:00 in the morning. That no men were allowed in the theater. Honestly, it sounds like I'm being facetious, but
he doesn't know how to spell, so how can he write Wonder Woman? Then
he's
just spend an hour looking it up.
Yeah. But see, this is what I'm saying. We have before. I mean, Lee and I were discussing before. I was small in the 60s. I was of age where I knew what was going on, but I really couldn't be a physical part of the movement and the marches. I mean, my mother told me what was going on, and
yeah.
I digested it as best I could at 10 years old. But now we are a physical part of it, and now we're finding that we have to reinvent, we have to restructure, we have to assemble things differently, or
mm-hmm.
we're really in a lot of trouble, a lot of trouble.
We are in a lot
yeah.
of trouble.
Well,
I mean, it's horrifying to. I was just with my sister, looking at the headlines this morning. I mean, it's every morning that
yeah.
that name is in your face, and
yeah.
he's done something else disastrous, and it doesn't stop. Nobody,
yeah.
nothing can stop this person because he has no morals, and he doesn't care, and he doesn't read. He can't read, and he doesn't listen to anyone. He just blurts, and you know, but.
But now,
trundles
let me ask
around
you this.
Creating.
Let me ask you this.
Yeah.
Do you think that, assuming, and I honestly, you've heard my opinion, I don't think he's going to last a year.
Please, God.
Do you really think that the next man coming in, who the day
yeah.
after the Women's March said, I wonder what their husbands thought, do you really think that that's better? That's what's scary.
No, he's a horror.
He's
an absolute horror. In fact, I just signed something online. Of course, we get them every day about him and the LGBT and
yeah,
women.
Right.
He's a very, very disturbing and dangerous guy.
I think so.
You know, of course, I have this idea, which it's not going to happen. But my friend and I thought if we could find somebody, and there are many people out there who have been given 2 weeks to live. And
no, where is
what do
going?
They care? We'll give them the gun, and we'll send them out there to get rid of all of them. And what is that person going to care? What are they going to do to him? He's going to die. Don't you think that's a good idea?
It is.
You know, the
it's a very good
is,
idea.
everybody, getting everybody under one roof would be nearly impossible. Now, going down the line, I think that Ryan probably is the least, I mean, I'm not, look, let's be serious. It's out of the frying pan into the fire, whatever we do.
Yeah.
But Ryan at least is not going to be an embarrassment. He probably isn't really thinking too much about taking away gay marriage rights or anything like that. I don't think that's where his head is.
Where might it be besides up to
now? I don't know.
I think
I hate them all. I can't help it.
Well, look, let's be serious. We're in trouble. We certainly
yes,
are.
Yes, we are.
You know,
yes,
but
are.
Like I said, I don't know. It's like you're almost afraid of what to wish for because, you know the devil you got. You don't know the devil you're getting. And it's just...
Yeah,
you
but
know,
the one we've got is, I just sort of jokingly, because I have a dark sense of humor, I said to Mishka, my sister and I, you know, we've all got my friend says, the organ recitals when you wake up in the morning and you call your friends, all you talk about is the doctor you went to, the pains you've got, so we call them organ recitals. So I said, once we get past the organ recitals,
yeah.
We can hope that, you know, we all go fast because this... son of a bitch is probably going to push a button because you know how rats are in a corner. When they're in a corner, they do the first thing that they're so angry and frightened, they go and they do something violent. That's all they know how to do. And he has that. I mean, he's like a 5-year-old kid who has a fit, a conniption fit because he's damaged. And he could push a button. Well, who knows?
Yeah.
I just want it to be quick. That's all.
Well, you know,
I'm sorry, I'm getting really,
No. This is, you know, and I say us, I don't mean us who are on the phone, but we have made the presidency an entry-level position. So why is everybody surprised that this happened? This is, again, us,
well,
not meaning us.
Yeah.
But this is what we, why did we think it was going to go well with this guy?
Well, I don't know because what you hear from people, I actually was a very, very interesting moment. I was in a pharmacy picking something up, and there was an African-American girl standing behind me in line, and she happened to, once in a while somebody says, I think I know you, and then they get crazy, so I finally say it probably was Days of Our Lives or something. Oh, yes, 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 so I said. I started chatting with her, and she said, you know, I don't have any insurance. Because she was online for something in the pharmacy. And I said, really? And she said, no. And I said, well, you better be prepared because you're never going to get any.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And she said, "What?" I said, because this man, this president, is going to take everything away from you, and starting with how he insulted us as women. And she just looked at me and she said, well, you know, I voted for him.
Oh, yes,
an African American. And I said, why did you do that? She said, well, because he said... He said all the things that I think all the politicians are thinking, and he said it, and that's what got people. He's saying, I'm going to speak, I'm not going to be a politician, I'm going to speak for all those people out there,
and
I'm going to say what...
He's still speaking shit.
That's right, but she didn't get that. She got, he's just really saying it like it is, and she liked that. And I said, well, I think you need to do some reading. It was very nice, you know. She was very sweet about it. I said, you really need to think about this because you have voted for a man that started by insulting women and started by lying to us, but she bought into it. And I said, well, you need to now see what's going on just for yourself. You know, I understand why you thought I didn't want to insult her.
Mm-hmm.
But
no.
That's what people are saying. Well, he was saying things like he was just a regular person and not a politician.
Yeah. That's
but did
exactly
they hear
right.
what he was saying?
No.
They didn't hear
it. Doesn't
him.
Matter. It doesn't matter. He
that's
didn't sound like a politician. Yeah.
That's right. That's what
they
happened.
They want to change, and that's what he kept saying. We need
that's
change.
Right. Change you know, from what? From this beautiful, gorgeous, start
you know what
rock.
I'm saying. Change.
I mean, we've gone from an eloquent speaker to someone who just,
piece of garbage.
Yeah, this is what I'm
piece
saying.
Piece of garbage, yeah.
Well,
but you know what?
What do we do?
The scary thing is when people say, well, I voted for him because I wasn't going to give my vote to her. Okay, then vote for Jill Stein. Vote for anybody morally that would have morally done a decent job, had no chance in hell. But how you could possibly not, I mean, how people could admit it to me now is just beyond me.
I know.
The same as saying that Bill Cosby is innocent.
Well, but you know, the thing is, it's just a matter of, again, what Trump has done, he has done in front of the camera. Mm-hmm. I'm not saying grabbing, but the character that he represents, you can't say, well, he would never do that. Of course he would. Right. Of course he would.
Of course he would. Come on.
But, that's, you know, they hearken back and people will say, well, look what Bill Clinton did.
Mm-hmm. Okay,
I frankly
totally
didn't care, you know, so good for him. I mean, that had nothing to do with his politics
or
the way he ran the country.
No, he was a great president.
Yes, so, you know, it's these people, and there are still, you know, many of them out there who think he's doing a great job.
They do. They're blind.
What?
I don't know what is wrong with them.
Well, when they find out that there is not going to be a new industry with coal and that everything is technological now, and people are going to lose their jobs.
They don't even understand that logic.
They don't.
They can't grasp what
they're
going to
get it too late. They're going to get it, but they're going to be too late.
They don't grasp it right away. They don't even know what's happening.
Well, you know,
really,
they're ignorant as he is.
You know what it is? And somebody made this point the other day, and I kind of agree with it. The people that are for him will always be, and that's just across the board. It's like rooting for your favorite team. They're doing horribly, but damn it, you don't understand. They had a good season.
You got to stick behind
them. These are the people that, God forbid this happens, he pushes a button, and we're on the brink of what everybody's dreading.
Yeah.
They're going to say, well, you know what? We're going to die anyway. This is how they'll rationalize it in this ridiculous... This is what I'm saying, and it's sick.
Yeah.
It's that
yeah.
blind loyalty that you don't want to see anything else, and you know.
Well, they have to admit to something that they didn't, you know, really look at, so they stick with it. And also, you know, this whole thing about him being a celebrity apprentice thing, reality show, is like, oh, you know, they saw him on that show.
Mm-hmm.
I thought he was just god awful, but you know, they bought into the guy who they thought was a great businessman, and you know he was a bad businessman, and it's all coming out.
Absolutely.
So they think, well, he can fix things, and he knows how to do finances. He'll make a deal. That's what he kept saying when he was running. Well, we'll make a deal.
Mm-hmm.
And people thought, oh, well, that's really simple and basic. He'll make deals. It leaves you speechless. What are you going to...
Only because the president really is not the only person that stands up. You have the House of Representatives
mm-hmm.
that has to agree with them.
Yeah.
But people
and the Republicans
are so naive,
the country.
They don't understand that. They think that he's going to make this decision, and it goes from there. That's it.
I know, and it's not really him. He's the titular head, you should pardon the expression.
But I'm just afraid because there's so many people that are still stuck by him and with him, and we live in everyday society with these people.
Well,
that's the scary part.
Has anybody seen more satirical stuff on a president ever? And vicious, hateful stuff.
Every day.
Cartoons.
Every day.
He's a cartoon.
Mm-hmm.
It's just astonishing.
He's a joke, that's why. He's a joke, and he's making himself more of a joke.
Well, I'm going to ask you, Louise, your opinion on Kathy Griffin. What did you think about that whole thing?
Well, of course, I loved it.
I do too.
Physically do that to him, but I think unfortunately for her, and then you think about what Mel Gibson said about Jews.
Of course.
And you think about and Trump. Forget that Trump's comments about people and women and, but you know when you're in the industry and you're female,
mm-hmm.
and she. Unfortunately for her, went too far. You know, I didn't think so, but I know she did.
And a lot of people don't like her to begin with, so it even...
That's true. She's abrasive. She's abrasive. And she was not enough of a cultural kind of icon to get away with that. I mean, Colbert and Alec Baldwin, you know, but they're not going to that place, which is pretty dark, and I thought quite wonderful, but... I think she's really hurt herself, and I don't know if she'll come back from that.
You really think so?
Yeah.
Because I'm thinking she's going to lose some supporters. But she's going to gain some, too.
Well, they fired her from CNN. I mean, she may come back in, you know, 5-10 years or something. But while he's there, I don't think so.
She's got, who does she have now representing her? Linda Bloom, who is a
defendant?
I don't know.
Yeah, the whole sex scandal with Roger Ailes, she was the one representing these women, and with Bill O'Reilly.
Right.
So she,
interesting.
But, you know, one thing that I was thinking about is, look, you pull a stunt like that. I mean, art is subjective, and it's shock art. And you know what? Whether you agree with her or not, she's got a right to do it.
That was her comedy, though.
Right.
That was her
right
comedy.
It might be abrasive, but she has a right to do it.
I
but
agree. She has a right to do anything.
But with that, I tend to think that she stands to – she lost quite a few million dollars, I'm positive. But I honestly think she's going to carve herself another career with this. You watch.
Oh, yeah. Like
I
said,
people
forget. People forget. America forgets.
Yeah.
They will forget.
Yeah, well, it's a hard one to call, but I personally loved it. I just don't know whether
– I didn't think it was such a bad thing.
In this particular time, everything is so sensitive, even though they get away with unbelievable stuff about him. I mean, they couldn't go in. She was right up there with a lot of the stuff that's going on, except for the fact that she had held his head. I mean, I don't know. I mean, who knows how that she's going to come back from that. We don't know. Look at what happened with Michael Richards, who's so brilliant.
Yeah.
And I don't really know specifically what happened, but it was a nightclub, you know, and he made...
Yeah, he made...
And I don't know. I just can't believe that this man is racist. I just can't.
Yeah.
And I think that, I mean, he's so brilliant.
Yeah.
And he's not working.
He
got really damaged.
Yeah.
And
he had a couple of gigs, though, after...
He did, but not, you know,
he never made it.
You don't hear about him at all.
No.
And I think also, well, of course, Mel Gibson came back, but it took a long time.
Yeah, but you know what? He still has a stigma on the top of his head.
He certainly does.
Yeah.
He does. But she, you know, I don't know because she's, I don't know what will happen with her. Who knows? It's just another, I don't know how much time we could spend on that.
Well, I think it's already forgotten.
Well, you know.
Less than a week, it's already forgotten.
But the point of everything that, I mean, again, what she did was what she did, but I remember seeing pictures of Obama lynched. And
somebody brought that up.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right.
And what did anybody do about that?
This is what I'm saying.
And what's the best is that he invited him, because this is the same guy, was it Jethro Tull? What's his name?
Not Jethro Tull.
Who said that if Obama wins, he's going to kill
Nugent.
Him?
Oh,
Ted
Jethro
Nugent.
Jethro Tull would never have said that.
And meanwhile, Donald Trump invited him to the White House.
Of course, that was the only musical guest he could get.
Okay.
Yeah.
Now, come on.
This
world is nuts. This world is
absolutely
nuts.
Well,
it is. I don't know if I mentioned this to you, Laura, but I sent, you know, there was a day, May 15th, we were all supposed to send cards to the White House. We were going to barrage the White House with cards and letters about Trump. And there was a specific date, which I think was May 15th or March 15th. I can't remember. The Ides of March, maybe it was.
Yeah.
And I sent 42 postcards. Of course, I wiped them off with Lysol in case they got my fingerprints. But I sent 42 postcards, and half of them were a picture that I have in my living room, an 8x10 of Barack, that is so gorgeous you could faint. And I made that into a postcard, and all the postcards were pictures of Barack on the cover, on the front. And then these absolutely ranting, raving comments to Trump. I mean, anything I could say, one of my favorites was, evidently they're working on an immunization for us against you. I mean, we're all going to be immunized. I talked about how he has made the Republicans even more insensitive and stupid than they are.
Mm-hmm.
I really hate white people, and I'm white. I mean, I just couldn't stop. I sent 42 of them. You know, you just get so
crazy.
Frustrated.
Yeah.
You don't know what to do anymore.
But you know,
you become a different person.
But you know, but Elite, that's a very good point, because my thinking was that the climate has changed so much. You know, years ago there was always the two things you don't discuss at a party with people that you don't know is politics and religion.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Now this is severing households.
Is.
This is people are defriending other people. People are walking away from relationships because of this.
Yeah.
This is
You're
not just party
right.
divide. This is, it's almost like cultural corruption.
And also, I find, you're right, and I find that the elephant is in the room.
Yeah.
I have a couple of friends that are longtime friends finding out and wondering, because we've never talked politics, there's this elephant, and I almost have stayed away from them, and they're longtime friends, because I can't, I don't even want to, you know, it's hard to even talk to them.
Yeah.
You just get so upset.
And you just can't believe that they could think that way.
Yeah, yeah.
But
it's really unfortunate.
There's a different tone to this, because don't forget, Schwarzenegger sat down with the Kennedys. I mean, I'm sure there was an interesting Thanksgiving Day discussion, but it was not this.
Yeah.
That was just, you know, you just disagree on policy, and you could rant and rave, but this is something that's very unique in itself.
Yes, it is.
And
it
scary.
Is.
Yeah.
It is. I don't know what we're going to do. I don't know who has an answer for this, but you know, hopefully they're working underground for an impeachment. But then again, as you said, look what's next. Oh,
you know,
my God.
The best thing, the only thing that we could do, and again, when I found out that Pence was trying to pass a bill in Indiana, where same-sex couples would get either a $10,000 fine or jail sentence.
Isn't that disgusting?
I mean, what?
You know what?
What the frick?
Find something else.
And he's also, you know, there are a lot of big people in the industry, and famous artists, and politicians who are same-sex. What's I mean, what does he even realize? They're probably all around him, and he doesn't even, you know, get it.
But there's so many different issues in this world. Why would you pick an issue that's so sensitive to the human public?
But see, now,
that's the thing.
This is the difference between, and I'm raised Roman Catholic. I don't want a Bible thumper in the White House. I don't want that because he's not speaking to the Jews, the Muslims, or the atheists.
But can you answer one question? These people actually go to church.
Yeah,
and as far as I know, and I'm not religious, I'm a Jew, but I'm not religious.
Mm-hmm.
I guess I'm more spiritual.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think Christ would ever have accepted or put up with what these people are doing?
Never.
They're murdering. They're it's against everything that supposedly that the church and Christ spoke of. And they
they're
go
all
to church,
hypocrites.
These people?
Hypocrites. They're all hypocrites.
See, I
How
always
dare
say,
they?
Christ was the best socialist. He really was. Christ,
that's right.
That's who he was. So, you know, again, and I always view, and my family has never wanted me to hear this, I view the Bible and the church, and the Bible is very subjective because I could take excerpts and make it work for me. Oh, see, right here it says man should not lay down with another man.
Yeah, but who wrote it?
This is what I'm saying.
Right.
So this is what people are arguing about.
Yeah.
You know, and honestly, whether it's true or not, it should be not making decisions for
other
everybody
people.
Else who are paying taxes and maybe not believing.
Exactly.
That's it.
What do you think about that? I mean, as we're talking, I'm thinking, this should be, somebody should come up with a rule that anyone who has killed, anyone who has taken the rights away from someone, anyone who has in any way injured a country or a person should not be allowed to go to church because they're hypocrites.
They
could be a new law, a hypocritical law.
Yeah.
You know, that they're not allowed.
Just like pedophiles, if you become a pedophile, you have a record.
Mm-hmm.
They should have a record that they should not be able to walk in the house of God.
But see, and I'm going to say
how
something
about that
really
for a law?
Because then the donation basket would be out a few
it's all
extra
about the money.
That's what
it's
I'm
all
saying.
About the money.
But you know, the truth is, I've played at protests, you know, anti-war rallies and everything. My band has played there. And bottles thrown at you when you get spit on and blah, 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 because, you know, we're not pro soldiers, which we are. We want them home. But you never see these people that are protesting and yelling at us on, you know, on the people that are at abortion clinics.
No.
They don't care about life after conception. They never are anti-war people. They just don't care.
No.
They just care about, you know. And that's the sad thing.
I want to get your little puppy there.
The puppy's getting
upset. His name is Woof Woof, and he's woofing.
Yeah.
Quiet.
He's getting upset.
Woof Woof?
Woof Woof.
Okay, now let me ask you, with all that out of the way, how would you restructure Hollywood to make it more female-friendly? Because we obviously have to do something now. If Wonder Woman coming out was the first time in Hollywood's history that a woman director had had cleared that much at the box office, how would we reassemble things?
Well, I don't know, because of one film, that it's going to change much,
mm-hmm.
even though obviously, you know, first of all, whatever, I haven't seen it yet, but I don't know who the girl is. I don't know
anybody,
really.
To be honest with you.
I don't either. It must be quite phenomenal, because otherwise it wouldn't hit like this, because they've also reported that the movie industry is losing money left, right, and center, including The Rock, you know, these movies, these summer movies that usually
is that right?
are blockbusters.
Mm-hmm.
They're all disasters, including Tom Cruise and
what?
Rock,
oh,
et cetera.
Yeah.
There must be something about this film. I don't think it's going to, you know, be enough to change Hollywood,
mm-hmm.
Other than maybe women directors coming forward, and there aren't that many of them.
Yeah.
They either are doing documentaries, or that wonderful, what's her name, the one who did the, she won an Oscar, the wife of the other director, Cameron, James Cameron. Fabulous director.
Linda Hamilton?
That's not her name. She directed the film, I can't think of the name of it. But she won the Oscar.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's the only other female director who's really visible right now. So it's going to take a long time, and I don't think the one movie is going will open doors.
That's what I'm hoping.
But, yeah.
Yeah.
I
don't think you can restructure Hollywood, but I think Hollywood is taking a beating right now financially.
Only
and everything is going back,
movies.
Going to television. You know, they're going to websites.
Yes.
there's a movie being done now with Pacino and Barry Levinson, after that beautiful job he did with the Bernie Madoff.
Oh yeah. Oh, piece. That was amazing.
Yeah, and so Levinson has turned to, you know, doing movies on television, which seems to be where everything's going.
Yeah.
I don't know about the movie industry anymore.
Very true.
You know, it's kind of dwindling, because people say, why should I leave my house? I can see everything right here.
And the amount of money that they charge just to go to the movies.
Oh, yeah, now you see what they're doing. I don't know about New York, but here there's a theater now where they have a restaurant attached to it, and you order your food.
Oh, my God.
And
yeah,
it's delivered
they have
to you.
That here, too.
Oh, they. Where
theaters,
is that
yeah.
now? I don't. Which theater
they
is that?
They have that in Jersey. They have that right.
Oh,
yeah.
I think that's horrible. I mean, I don't want to sit next to somebody who's eating something while I'm trying to watch a movie.
Exactly.
That's just.
Get them crunching.
But they're desperate. They're trying. They're trying everything to lure people into the theater, which makes a statement. They're really having to do that now because people aren't going to the movies. So I don't know, you know, how to restructure Hollywood. It's going to happen on its own in a way if they don't find a way to keep them in the theaters. Because everybody's staying home. They don't. It's cheaper.
And you can watch everything at home. You could literally watch everything.
I love
at
going
home.
To the movie. I love that. Like Woody Allen talked
every
about.
Every once
in
a while it feels good. Yeah.
Big screens. And I love it.
Don't forget, when we were growing up, we just had 7 channels. Right.
That's
so,
right.
But now think about this. Yeah. We had 7 channels, so the movie was the big thing. Now we have 800 and something.
And we still can't watch it.
That's a sad reality.
That's what happens. The more we have, the more we
see.
The
that's the
life.
Whole thing. Years ago, we took a chance on a plot of a show.
Mm-hmm.
There was always a good movie of the week starring Louise Sorrell. There was always one, right, Louise? There's always one or two.
Yeah,
but,
you know, I even looking back at. I still watch Dick Wolf's shows, like Law and Order and The New Chicago. He really produces shows with. He's never veered from and tried to be clever or, you know, he tells stories, which is really what you want. You want to be told a story. And there's so much stuff now that I can't keep up with. I seem to be turning more to British stuff because they are so amazing.
Always.
Call the Midwife. You know, I mean, they're doing shows like that. I'd rather watch that than go to some, you know, mediocre film.
Yeah.
Because there's just great stuff coming from England.
Yeah,
and
always was.
Oh, God, they are brilliant.
One of my favorite comedies was Are You Being Served? It was on for like 12 years, and it just
yes.
absolutely hysterical and just
yeah.
so clever.
Yeah.
They if I don't go out, there's just so much to watch, and I don't know how the industry is going to hold up. I watch TCM because then you see the great old films.
Always, that's my go-to channel.
Yeah, Laura's always on that.
Always.
What would we do without that?
But honestly, think
and
about
Seinfeld.
Well,
TCM,
yes,
and Seinfeld.
The classics. I don't want to go off on politics again, but the reason somebody is where he is because of our diet of reality shows. We have become,
yes,
a civilization that would rather see two women hit each other and curse each other and walk out of the house and cry than,
mm-hmm,
anything that even remotely resembles somebody doing well, a single mother putting herself through law school and raising her kids. We don't want to see things like that.
Yeah.
We want to see people at their worst possible position in life, so
well,
we feel better about
in
ourselves.
In general, it makes
yes,
the person feel better about themselves.
That's what we. This is
right.
What I'm saying. This is why I don't know.
It's hard to explain, but
it's terrible.
I do agree with Louise that Hollywood will crumble before it gets better.
I hope not.
Yeah, I have a feeling it will.
I think it will. I mean, I go back a long ways. My father was a film producer,
mm-hmm,
so I grew up here in the industry with the studios, and it was such a different, innocent time.
Yeah.
And movies were a lot more innocent, of course, and they were wonderful, the 40s and 50s. And now they're very irresponsible. That's the other problem for me, is I cannot stand violence have enough of it, but now they're making movies where people are tearing each other apart and, you know, they have no responsibility. They have no sense of responsibility. I get so angry at these violent films because that's the last thing we need.
Yeah,
and you can't stop them because people go and see them.
People like
them.
But
if they didn't have them, they wouldn't go.
Mm-hmm.
The brilliance of, and this is why Louise and I love TCM, of the older movies is everything was just heavily implied. I mean, one of my favorite films is The Children's Hour. Elite, I definitely am going to let you watch it with me because I'm not going to give too much of it away.
Yeah.
A scene that really counts, you know what happens because of the how it resonates on Audrey Hepburn's face. You never see what actually happens.
Right.
You see a shadow of it. Louise, you know what
that's
I'm talking
right.
about. And the rest is what went on in your head.
Imagination.
And that's brilliant.
Yeah. And this, for instance, there's a great kind of movie, but Ingrid Bergman and Cary Grant,
mm-hmm,
there's a moment in one of the movies where they just walk away, they're going through a door, and there's just a turn of a head,
mm-hmm,
and it's so sexy,
yeah,
and you just know. And that's the thing that's no longer around, which is subtlety, elegance, class. It's gone.
Mm-hmm.
Everything is graphic,
yeah,
and there's no gentility. There's no grace. I think that's
yeah.
the word, grace.
And you know what? We've forgotten how to applaud the nuance and the dynamic in something. We don't
yeah.
do that anymore. We just see so much. We don't need to see it. We're on overkill. But I think the sexiest thing is allowing your brain to create the scene that you want.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
all these movies just they do
up
it
to
all
your imagination.
Without. Blood. They do
yep.
it all without seeing, you know, two people on the bed. You know that. And the
right.
rest is up to you.
Right.
And you could make it as wild as you want or as romantic as you want.
Exactly.
Exactly. I'm just stunned by some of the things that lately I saw a quick glimpse and I never turned it on again. Sarah Jessica Parker
mm-hmm.
is doing a series. I don't know if it's still
Divorce.
On.
Divorce.
Yes.
Yeah.
And
the
first show, I could not believe what they were doing.
Well,
I
the
was,
first show
mean,
I have to. Did you watch the whole series?
What do you mean?
I couldn't. I didn't. I couldn't.
The first
I,
episode was terrible. I have to say it was terrible.
Mm-hmm.
It
but
was
as
graphic
the show
and
became, you know, it became funnier,
it
and
did?
It was less graphic.
But what's,
graphic
what's,
because
what's
the first
premise?
What you
what's,
saw
what's
that she wants a divorce
okay.
and you know he still wants to be together
okay.
and you know.
Yeah,
and,
but it was. I mean, it was graphic stuff. You know,
because they shot because the gunfire right and the party.
No,
in
the bedroom.
Drunk.
In the bedroom when
in the bedroom,
wanted,
right? Because she was trying drunk.
To. Oh my God!
But it wasn't like that for the rest of the episode.
Oh,
it was actually
well,
pretty
good.
Funny and witty. Very funny and witty.
Okay.
That was the only episode I didn't like.
Ugh.
But
I
see,
just,
going back to it, I mean, we go back, well, Seinfeld was, what, 25 years ago, something like
that?
Yeah.
Yeah, I believe so.
I watch it every night.
And it, you know what?
You can still watch it.
It stands the test of time. It's not dated humor. There's some regional humor. You have to be a New Yorker to get that civilization really happens on the west side and not the east side. I mean, this is just like, but it's fun stuff, but we get it. But they did it without playing blue. They did it without being disgusting, and they did it without really being that outrageous.
Yeah.
So how come we can't do that?
That's a good question, because now we've got a representation of all the gross and tasteless things we could possibly imagine with this group.
Yeah, well, there's a couple of good sitcoms out there that are still good. They're not going to be as big as Seinfeld, because it's not the same premise. But there's a couple of good sitcoms out there.
There is a couple. I haven't seen any yet, honestly.
No, there are.
I haven't either.
Mom is a great sitcom with Allison Janney. Mom?
Oh, yeah, well, she's... I like her a lot. I haven't really seen... I don't know why I'm not drawn to watching those things.
It's a very good show. You have to watch it, because she's excellent.
She's very good.
Great, yeah. And like I said, there's a couple. Not many, but there's a couple.
Yeah.
That are watching.
But it's, like I said, it's been done before, but I think there was a... the climate shift has been humanity. Things appeal to us that really shouldn't. And I think that's what's really driving this truck. And again, we're a reality show nation, so...
That's hurt a lot of actors, by the way.
Yeah.
It's hurt a lot of us because the reality shows just cut out a lot of actors out of work because they replace shows with, you know, reality.
Sure.
So the actors are out.
And think about the writers. To start a reality show, you need some people with cameras. The script writes itself probably on its own, and that's it.
Uh-huh.
And you have a show.
Mm-hmm.
That's right.
It's terrible. It's
what are we gonna do? Tuscany. That's a good idea. I have a friend in Tuscany. We can all move to Tuscany.
Okay, I'm coming. I have my passport.
I'm ready.
You don't have a passport.
Oh, shut up.
No, I'm just telling you. You can't come. So,
you know, a lot of people, when I say I'm going to move, you know, I throw it out there because
somewhere
in the back of my brain I think I'm going to do that. But then they say, I'm staying here and fighting for my country.
Yeah.
And I thought, well, I don't know.
You say, what a fool.
But no, look, I hate to say it. If everybody leaves, then what
nobody
happens?
Left. Then Donald Trump be by himself.
Unfortunately.
He doesn't seem to care because some people were threatening to go. He made a comment. Somebody said, I'm going to move to Canada. I said, good, I'll pay the airfare for you.
Yeah, everybody can.
You know, he doesn't care.
He really doesn't.
No.
He doesn't care about anybody.
But see, the whole thing is, you know, of course the temptation to move elsewhere, you know, especially if you're like dual citizenship or something, sure. But I wouldn't do that just because I pay taxes here and I'm not letting somebody take
what... And this is your country.
It is.
You're right. You're right about that.
I want the people that want to be married to be married. And I want my daughters, I don't have any, to be able to deny themselves, you know, going full term with a pregnancy that they could ill afford or they don't want.
The land of the free.
This is what I want.
That's why
I'm staying here.
We want to be free.
Louise,
what
you're
we
staying
want.
Here with me, too. You're not going anywhere.
You know, when you go see something, God bless him, like Hamilton, which just makes you,
mm-hmm.
I mean, it pushes every button when you go see. We just went to see a production of Man of La Mancha.
Oh, yeah.
And that, again, another one about, you know, freedom and
absolutely.
And thought and speech and language and people. I mean, it's Cervantes, you know. And it just makes you weep when you hear those songs because they're crying out for people. And it's antithetical to what's going on. So, I mean, it's funny because you go in to see those shows and they make you sad in a way, even though they're joyous and celebrative. It's the message hits home in a terrible way now.
Yeah.
Like Hamilton. Hamilton, just now I saw it a second time.
Yeah.
And it was painful. And it's so brilliant. It's so brilliant. And it's like, yes, bring it back. We need these people who fought for this country. And we're watching it being torn apart, and these people are singing about freedom, and you know, oh God, Anyway.
Yeah, but that's another conversation getting into that.
It is, I know.
An elitist country that we can't even see the show because it's too much money.
Yeah.
Well, that's, believe me, I didn't pay anywhere near
well,
that.
That's what
I mean,
I'm saying.
I paid the regular thing, but I would never pay. I think that's just awful, you know, these prices.
Yeah, so.
Children should be seeing this, school children,
yeah,
and everyone
absolutely.
Should be seeing this show.
Yep.
Especially now.
Yeah.
Especially now. It's something
yeah,
like,
I think they should
but
just
to charge thousands of dollars.
No,
ticket,
it's outrageous.
You know, nuts.
Well, that's something that people should see with their kids and process it, especially
yeah.
now. It's very important.
It is. I
you know?
Agree.
If the
I
founding
agree.
Fathers, I'm going to quote a Woody Allen thing. If the founding fathers ever came back and saw what was going on, they'd never stop throwing up.
Exactly.
Never
that's
stop
right.
throwing up.
Yeah.
And it's true because
very
this is
true.
Just not where it should be
nope.
at all.
Yeah.
So before we let you go,
yes, this is very cheery.
I
yes,
want to ask
right?
you what's on the next 5 years for you? What do you have? Anything new coming up? Any plans?
Not at the moment. I don't want to. People say don't talk about it, just do it. But I really need to write. I write a lot, but I haven't focused properly on what I want to do, which is. As everybody else does, of course, a memoir, because I think it's a good thing to do for your brain, whether anybody buys it, that's another thing. But I think that's something that I need to do, and hopefully do some theater in New York.
Beautiful.
Because, you know, I did a play, and it was very successful, but it was limited, and it should have moved to Broadway, but they were too slow with it, and they just didn't do it, and it was really sad, because it was a production of I Remember Mama with an amazing group of actresses, Barbara Barry, and anyway, it was a whole bunch of wonderful, wonderful actresses, and it should have moved, and it didn't, and it was really a loss.
I remember that, too. Oh, my God, that's just heavy, just
yeah.
beautiful, beautiful. Well, you know, that's very sad when it just doesn't have the legs you think it's going to.
Well, it was, you know, financially, and the director has his own company called Transport Group, and they just won a couple of Obies. My friend Heather McRae just got an Obie, which was wonderful for her. But he just kind of puts his head in the sand. He does it, and then he just lets it go.
Yeah.
Yes. And this shouldn't have, I mean, Meryl Streep came and John Guare came, all these people
wow.
came and said, this has to go to New York, I mean, to Broadway, to Roundabout or
sure.
Circle in the Square or something.
Oh, yeah.
And the director/producer just moves on to something else, and everybody just got furious with him.
Oh.
But, you know, that's really where my heart is doing theater in New York,
yeah.
or anywhere, actually. So I don't have anything at the moment, but hopefully
that's
soon.
That's good. And, you know,
yeah.
you'll let us know when anything, you know, comes up, and you come on, and then we'll support you on that. And, you know, and
okay.
certainly if you do theater, we'll be there, of course.
Yeah,
okay.
Definitely. You let us know.
This has been really fun.
Thank you so much.
Good. Very good ladies here.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you for coming on. You'll come on again.
Okay.
Yeah.
You know, again, the show, I totally, this is probably going to go this way. I had it formed a certain way, but I knew we were going to get political,
yeah,
so what? That's
all right.
That's the beauty
that's
of it.
That's the way it goes.
You go.
Well, because it's important.
Right,
you know,
exactly.
That's exactly.
Can't not talk
exactly
about
right.
that.
That's exactly right. Louise Sorrell, thank you so
it's
much,
been
darling.
Such a pleasure meeting
thank
you.
Thank you. Thank you. Have a
have
good
a
day.
Darling, thank you.
All right, take care.
Thank you.
Kisses.
Bye.
Bye-bye. And she's a wonderful lady and brilliant. And, you know, again, she doesn't tap herself on the
no.
on the back, but 30 years in the business.
She
is,
did a lot.
Yeah.
She did a lot.
It's not easy. And it's, you know, and a good friend of ours, Concetta Tomei, who's probably listening today.
Right.
Yeah, she's going to be joining us. And
she's in the same boat.
She, you know what? And she
right?
Louise started younger. Louise started acting, I think, when she was probably in her early 20s. Concetta, don't forget, Concetta was an English teacher. She got into, and she was lucky.
Right.
She got into
that's
acting.
I remember you telling me.
I think she was like 39, 40. And she did another great voice. She does voiceovers and everything. But she got China Beach immediately.
Right.
Then she went from that to Providence, which was canceled after that. Did a few movies. Don't Tell Mom the Babysitter's Dead.
Right. Great movie.
Yeah. So she did that. And a lot of other things, and King of Queens, and a lot of walk-ons, and so on and so forth. But, yeah, it's just everybody's in the same.
Yeah.
You know? But, you know, memoirs seem to be
the big thing.
And,
yeah.
And Louise's friend, Susan Silva, who was on the show,
mm-hmm.
Her memoirs are doing wonderfully.
It's very funny. I'm reading it.
Isn't it? Do you
yeah,
like it? I'm glad.
Funny.
I'm glad.
Yeah.
You know, I kept meaning to ask you.
Yeah, it's very
if
funny.
You looked at it, do you like it?
Of course.
It? Yeah,
I've been
yeah,
reading a
yeah.
chapter
she's
every day.
She's hysterical.
You know, with my busy schedule, so.
No, she's really hysterical.
Yeah,
you know,
she is.
She's funny in person. That's why I was saying Louise is very funny, too. But Susan had that kind of stand-up thing
yeah.
that she was able to da-da-da-da-da-da-da. So always wondered why she didn't do it. But we had a lovely time with Louise. Now we got to pay for this show.
Let's do it.
Got to pay for this show dearly. What do we love?
We love Topperson.
Especially
is good for you.
Now, you know something. I'm getting rave reviews for the sports cream.
Really?
Formula, you know, it's funny because I've gave it to a lot of people, and a lot of people are saying, it's, you know, I don't know, kind of feel the same as the others. Now, all of a sudden, people are saying they notice the difference.
Oh, good.
So, Topperson Sports Cream Formula, do it on, but use it for more advanced aches and breaks. And look, the summertime is coming. The summertime is here, whether we realize it or not. You're going to ache.
Or feel it or not.
You're going to ache, you're going to break. Topperson is designed to suit every pain in your body. We love them. They love us. Bruisers love them more. That's what we always say. But there is a formula that is perfect for you. Foot formula, Elite. What else? Come on. I give one. You give one.
Junior.
Okay. Regular.
The burn cream.
Yeah. Topperson burn away.
Burn away.
Fibro for fibromyalgia.
Fibromyalgia.
What else?
The regular. Don't forget the regular Topperson.
Yeah, I said the regular.
You did?
Yeah, I did.
Oh.
Okay, I said regular. That was my. Yeah. That
I
was
think
my,
that's about it. You know, the
Topperson, I think you're right.
Yeah.
That's it. But go to their website, topperson.com, and mention us, and you might even get a little something for your troubles. You might.
True.
I don't hold me to it.
Very
I have
true.
Enough troubles as it is. Don't hold me to it. Topperson. Topperson.com. Visit their website. It's hard to find them in the store. I think they go fly off the shelves really quick, so you're
yeah.
better off doing it online. Do it today before the pain hits your household. I like that. Right?
Mm-hmm.
Do you like that, Elise?
I
like
that.
Why didn't I go into
advertising?
Why didn't I?
I don't know.
I think I still could. I think I could reinvent my
Good.
Damn
you
self.
You reinvent yourself.
My damn self. Now, what do we read? What summer reading? What are you thinking about reading this summer? Any books that you're thinking about reading?
Books?
Yeah, summer reading. Any?
I don't really. I used to read all.
I know.
The
that's
time.
Why I asked.
I don't. I've been reading Susan Silva's book.
Oh, okay.
That's pretty
that's
much
nice.
The only
that's
book
nice
I've been reading.
Light summer reading.
Yeah.
But you know what? If you want to be lazy, and you want to think about getting in shape, Muscle Sport Magazine, they still have. They have certain pages that aren't for the youngins. You know what I'm saying, Lee? To look at, you know what I'm talking about.
Most pages aren't
most
for
pages.
The youngins.
But they still have some great exercises. So if you're an ulster like us and could take more than a PG rating
mm-hmm.
like us, they have some great
well,
exercises
they have
in there.
Good interviews.
Yes, yeah, and good interviews. And you know, it's all meat, no filler.
Right.
And that's what they so go to their website, MuscleSport.com, and $32 gets you a
year's subscription.
That's how much is that a magazine? That's like nothing a magazine.
Well,
yeah?
12 issues divided
yeah.
by 32.
Yeah.
Let's do it. Let's see.
If indeed there's, I think there is 12 issues. I don't think it's a bi-monthly.
I'm sure.
I'm not
sure.
I don't want people calling us up and saying, you know what? I was hoodwinked. We don't want that. What is it?
$375 an issue.
How about that? Where can you get anything for
$375?
It has to be.
$375 an issue.
The New York Times
yeah.
is like $4 or so, something like that. The Sunday one
that's
anyway.
That's crazy.
So, yeah. Yeah, so that's
worth it.
It's certainly worth it. And what was worth it was the lovely Louise Sorrell
yes.
joining us.
Yes, I have to give her another hand.
Yeah. We enjoyed her. And if you didn't hear us, if you want to hear this show again, I should always make that point.
Yeah, just click on a link.
Will you wait 5 minutes? And then it's there
it's ready for
you to listen for
or
forever.
Any
and
of
ever.
Our other shows.
Amen. They're all on our page.
They're
and
all
hey,
there.
Hey, hey, hey,
they're
hey,
all embedded.
Hey, if you didn't like the page, for crying out loud, what's stopping you? It's free.
Like
she's
the
raising
page.
The bar.
Right.
You will have all
Facebook,
the interviews.
Instagram.
We've had. Instagram, yeah. We're all there. So just peruse at your heart's content. And that's it for us.
Yay.
That's it for
great
us.
Great show.
Thank you,
woo-hoo.
My lovely co-host. Thank
woo-hoo.
You, darling.
One for you.
Oh, thank you.
One for you.
And go out.
One for me.
Thank you.
And you ready? Let's say goodnight, Gracie.
Go out, make it a productive day. Do something wonderful. Give somebody a smile, one of your smiles if they don't have one already, and just make the world a better place, however that means to you to do out and
just
formulate that.
Just be kind to each other.
Just go do the best you could and be part of the human race and not part of division. And that's the best we could say. In addition to that,
I'm going to make Nina take us out.
Take us home, Nina.
Take care, everyone.
See you next week.
One, two.